The trading floor is closed. It's time to cut through the chatter and find the clarity. From the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk After the Bell. Here's your host, Chip Flory.
And welcome to AgriTalk After the Bell, everybody. Kind of a wishy-washy day or way to start the week in the grain markets. We had just some slightly lower corn prices, soybeans, modest gains in the bean market, in the soy complex, as a matter of fact. Soybean meal was higher. Bean oil also worked to the upside. That hasn't happened for a while, Davis. How you doing, buddy?
I'm pretty excited. It looked really good for about the first half hour, maybe even a little better this morning, and then it just all kind of fell apart.
Yeah, it started to kind of weasel away on us a little bit. I think the higher dollar might have had something to do with that, because the grains were trying to pull a little bit of support from the crude market. Stocks were mixed. The last time I looked, the NASDAQ was higher, but the Dow was trading, the NASDAQ is still higher, just slightly higher, but the Dow was trading about 200 points lower. So this is, the volatility in the equities continues. Wheat was lower today, live cattle and feeder cattle just slightly higher, and solid gains in the lean hog market to get things started this week.
Hey,
Andy
Chip.
Schisler with S&W Trading is my guest today. Want you to be part of the conversation as well. Give us a call. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us. And when you do, make sure that you include Chip ATB in the message. That way I will be sure to see it. Ugly weather out there, dude.
Yeah, not too good a day. Although, you know, it was a whole lot worse this morning on the way into work. I know that you're down deep, deep underground in Flory's studios in the bunker there. It's probably the best place to be.
Yeah, no question about it. Stay off the roads on days like today. Otherwise I'd just be in the way.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, it's awful quiet around the office here today.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it? Well,
yes.
You know, there was some fireworks going on in the grains earlier. I mean, those soybean futures that went at the, around midday were 13, 14, even 15 cents higher in there.
Screaming higher. Yep.
Yeah, we backed them off a little bit into the close, but still it wasn't too bad of a day in the markets with everything said. So, all right, buddy, let's go ahead and hear what was moving the markets today.
For sure. Well, the U.S. dollar index traded sharply higher today, but the move left the greenback short of testing resistance at 90 even in the spot month contract. Nonetheless, the strength in the dollar was cited as one of the reasons wheat traded lower early in the session. It also made it difficult for corn and soybean futures to hold on to those early gains.
Yeah, okay, let's go big picture here, because really when we're talking about currency trade, we got to stay big picture on this stuff. I don't know if the dollar is really hurting commodities on a day like today, but I don't know if it's helping a lot either.
Right.
What we need from the dollar to force some more action in the grains and commodities in general, I think, is another leg down, or for the dollar to trade through that 90 level and start to make importers think that it's headed back into that 94, 95 range. That could scare some action in the commodities, too. Either one of those, I think, at this point would help commodities. We'll talk with Andy about that here coming up in a little bit.
No man's land for the greenback. Well, export inspections of wheat to the week ended February 15 topped 422,000 metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations. Weekend rains in dry areas of Texas and Oklahoma added pressure on winter wheat prices. Heavy rains are expected in eastern Texas and the eastern Corn Belt this week, but Kansas and Nebraska will miss out on most of that precipitation.
Yeah, export inspections, nothing special there, but at least they didn't disappoint. You know, it would have been nice if some of those rains would have made their way up into Kansas. I mean, I know it probably would have weighed even more on wheat prices, but they've got to grow a bushel before you can sell a bushel.
Right.
You know, first things first kind of thing. We need to help that crop out.
March hard red futures were 6¾ cents lower at 4.71¾. March soft red fell 8.5 cents to close at 4.49¼. March spring wheat was down 2¾ at 6.02½. Early strength in the corn market was credited to spillover support from gains in the soy complex. Even with the U.S. dollar sharply higher, export inspections of corn in the week ended February 15 of just over 938,000 metric tons added early support, and so did disappointing weekend rains in Argentina. But with March corn futures bumping up against overhead resistance at the September 29 high of 370.5 and trading funds now in a slightly net long position in corn, the market had a tough time building on that early upside price momentum.
Yeah, no question about it. Funds are out of the short position in corn. When was the last time we said that? It's been a long time. They're still short some wheat, but they're slightly long corn now. And that's what we got. You know, guys that heard me speak this winter out on the road, they heard me say, listen, I don't need the funds to get long. Just get them out of their shorts. Well, here we are. They're out of their shorts. We've seen some price strength in here. Could it be time to reward that strength that we have seen with either some catch-up sales on the old crop, getting started on new crop? We'll see what Andy thinks here coming up in just a little bit.
Well, March corn futures were 2 cents lower at 3.65½. July corn was down a penny and a quarter at 3.81½. December corn closed at 3.96 even, down a penny on the day. Chip, it rained in Argentina over the weekend, but coverage and amounts were lighter than expected, and the week ahead looks to be hot and dry. Forecasters say even the areas that did see rain this weekend will again be critically dry by the end of the week. Corn and bean crop development are at critical stages in Argentina, and losses are said to be mounting. Export inspections of beans in the weekend of February 15 were in line with expectations at just over 960,000 metric tons. Technically, March bean futures gapped higher and rallied to the highest level since July 25th, but chip prices fell back to fill that gap in midday trade. March soybean futures were a nickel higher at 10.26½. July beans gained 4¾ cents to close at 10.47 even. November beans closed at 10.25 even, up 3 cents on the day. Chip.
Yeah. We've got time. Go ahead and finish up the livestock markets here. You know, that you mentioned that critical time.
Yes.
You mentioned the critical time in the development of the corn and soybean crops. You know, we're filling pods. We're filling kernels on those crops right now. You know, I thought about this morning. You know, President's Day has almost become, in that three-day weekend that comes with President's Day, it's almost as important now as the 4th of July weekend or break that we get in the middle of the summer here. And it's because of the importance of the South American crops. This year, the importance that just happens to be on Argentina.
Yeah. Well, February live cattle futures are trading right in line with last week's cash trade in the plains at 130. While the cash market is providing support, spring and summer month futures are having a tough time building upside momentum, even as resistance levels are cleared. April cattle were 7.5 cents higher at 127.72½. And June cattle firmed 15 cents to close at 118.82½. March feeders gained 7.5 cents to close at 149.80. More strength late in the week. Last week, Chip.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm glad you mentioned that. It took until late Friday and even a little bit of Saturday before we could really confirm that we were looking at that 130 trade in the plains. Yeah.
Well, last week's Thursday-Friday price plunge in lean hogs turned into a round of short covering, with icy Midwest roads providing support for the cash market. April lean hogs were $1.05 higher at $69.20, and June hogs gained 122.5 to close at $80.95. Not too shabby on the hogs.
Yeah, no question about it. That was a nice move. We even got that, you know, just call those June hogs back up to 81 cents. I think I mentioned last week that if we could get an 81 or an 82, that we should maybe be looking at getting some downside price protection in place in there. Okay, guys. Thanks, Davis.
You bet.
We got Andy Schisler from S&W Trading coming up next. We're going to talk South America. We're going to talk demand. We're going to talk China's economic strength. What's most important right now? We'll find out from Andy next on ATB.
Sorting through information on weed resistance is hard work. FJWeedControlSolutions.com is the answer. Farm Journal partnered with Bayer to create your go-to source for up-to-date, concise weed control solutions. Listen to some of the latest advice shared.
Using dicamba for weed control just got more challenging. Changes to dicamba herbicide labels, such as training, wind speed, Timing, movement, temperature, and record keeping will affect how you use these herbicide formulations in the coming season. The new regulations are a response to widespread plant injuries caused by off-target herbicide movement. Visit us online to learn more about how these new regulations might impact your operation.
See the whole story and more at FJWeedControlSolutions.com. Fresh updates to keep you on top of today's fast-changing weed control news. Timely and accurate information from sources you can depend on. Visit FJWeedControlSolutions.com. Brought to you by Farm Journal and Bayer.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
The Climate Field View platform gives you the digital tools to uncover data-driven insights so you can make better farm management decisions and get the most out of every acre. To learn what Climate Field View can do for your operation, contact your local dealer or visit climate.com for more information. Climate Field View services provide estimates or recommendations and do not guarantee results. More information at www.climate.com/disclaimers.
Where do you turn to protect your bottom line? It's time you turn to ProFarmer for easy-to-follow market news and advice for both cash marketers and futures and options users. Visit TryProFarmer.com today for a no-obligation 4-week trial to the nation's number one marketing newsletter. That's TryProFarmer.com. ProFarmer is not a brokerage firm, so you're not going to get a lot of in-and-out trading advice or elaborate option strategies. You will get rock-solid fundamental market outlook and recommendations that farmers have relied on for generations. Stop sifting through mountains of confusing analysis. ProFarmer selects only the most important news to save you time and keep you focused on what really matters. Make better informed marketing decisions to protect your bottom line. Try the ProFarmer newsletter absolutely free. Visit TryProFarmer.com. That's TryProFarmer.com.
Maximize your grain quality, yield, and profit this season with ProSaro Fungicide from Bayer.
And welcome back to After the Bell, everyone. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Corn was slightly lower today. Soybeans saw modest gains, along with soybean meal and bean oil. Meal and oil worked in the same direction today. That was a bit of a head-scratcher for us, maybe just some unwinding of the long meal, short oil spreads late in the day there. Wheat was lower, live cattle and feeder cattle slightly higher. Solid gains in the lean hog market today. Give us a call. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. Or you can tweet at us with the hashtag ChipATB. That way I will be sure to see it. Andy Schisler, S&W Trading, joins us. Andy, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, Chip. It's good to be on.
Yeah, it's good to have you on again and good to talk with you. What you been up to, man?
Oh, man, staying inside today. I mean, it's been raining since last night. We've got geese swimming in my parking lot at work here today. Last week was lots of snow blowing. This week's like, man, it's rained hard. It's going to rain all night here again.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and so, when you get all that snow melt and the rain all at the same time, I can see how the waterfowl would be in your parking lot here today.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty funny, though.
Oh, shoot. You know, Andy, there's a couple of spots that I know wish could be getting the rains that we're getting. One of them is Kansas. The other one is Argentina. This soy complex, Andy, is it just as clear cut to say that it's a weather market? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's a real weather market here.
Okay.
And I think it's legit too. Okay. Like we watch the weather and we get all these GFS updates and the changes and it being wrong for the better part of the last year. It's always wetter. Every midday is always wetter. And the rains just haven't materialized in anything that they're forecasting. So it's been warm. they've ridged up several times. There's areas that are definitely going to, I think they're losing yield. Talked to some people down there. They think maybe it's down 20%. That would seem reasonable. They're not going to finish it very well. I mean, we do some farming in Iowa, Minnesota, and man, you know, our yields is down like 20% plus. You know, yeah. We didn't finish well, and it hurt. I think you're getting a lot of that is what's going on down there. I think it's legit. We'll get a rain sometime, and we'll douse this market out. You know, right. Maybe you were pretty close to there, like right now. But remember 08, 09, they were really dry, and this is very comparable. And there was some areas it was down 40% on yield down there. So we could do some stuff, you know, could create a bigger market here. I mean, this may not even be the highs like what we do here. It might be even higher again later in like June, July, too.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you the question that kind of comes along, or it's kind of along the lines of, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, does it actually make a sound? If Argentina has a crop shortfall and it doesn't turn into any additional demand for U.S. soy products, did it really happen?
It wouldn't matter if we did generate some demand out of it to tighten things up. But what's been really kind of weird this year is I would be bullish like $12 in beans with what's going on in Argentina. But like our export program just didn't really kick it in gear like it normally does. And a lot of little reasons for that. I think some of it's like river conditions, ice conditions. We had this cold weather, hard to move barge freight, hard to move stuff off the West Coast. People talking about quality, you know, where your yields was down in like Iowa, Minnesota. So you don't really want to buy those off the West Coast. The premiums are a little screwy too, from Gulf versus Brazil. I thought we had components like to like really do something here, and.
Yeah.
Don't know if we quite have it as bullish as a case as I kind of thought we were going to, but what I still could see is with this Argentina, if their yields is down, what I think it is, we should see our export pace go longer and pick up some of that. And once our logistics get a little better from this tough winter, you know, that could help too. So, I mean, I think we'll extend the sales season this year. China's buying more beans than they've ever bought, so that's not bearish. You know, that's good.
Right.
It's just, it's hard to buy it if the damn river's frozen.
Yep. Yeah.
You can't move it down the river if it's froze, you know.
That's exactly right. You know, Andy, Brian Grady at Pro Farmer, the editor of Pro Farmer, has been talking about the quality issues on last year's bean crop, that maybe China is backing away a little bit because of those quality concerns. But honestly, you're the first one on the show that has just come right out and said that we've got some quality problems with this year's bean crop west of the Mississippi.
Yeah, it is. It's legit. You know, like we raised some seed beans, and like we've been getting our seed beans rejected by like Monsanto, Pioneer, Stein, everybody, and it's because they're the germs only 80% on them.
Okay.
That's not good. You know, it's like we see little stuff. I pay attention to like that little stuff, and it's like 80% germ. So you're seeing. Like Monsanto wants to take like all the beans out of Illinois and use those for seed. Like they're pulling beans from other places because like some of these places that were real dry, the quality's bad, even on the seed.
Yeah, interesting. So when we talk about quality on beans for crushing, it sounds like it's a meal issue and an oil issue. Usually if it's dry, you get that higher oil component in there. And maybe your meal backs off a little bit, but when we're crushing for meal, it's got to be an influence. It's got to be that we're missing some meal in these beans, right?
Yeah, I think we are.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so that obviously becomes a big issue. And in a year when we're losing some bushels out of Argentina, that's the year that you want the good quality meal in your beans so that you can ramp up your crush and capture more of that share. That Argentina might not be filling. So it is a weird year, and we're not moving a lot of beans out of the PNW, and we can't move a lot of beans down the river right now. So it's a big issue. Nonetheless, here we are. We've got, you know, March beans and November 18 beans basically at the same level right now, 10 and a quarter in the Novi beans, 10.26.5 on the close on March beans. If you need to get some catch-up sales done on beans, Andy, do you go ahead and do it now on the old crop? Do you get started on new crop? Or are you going to wait in here because of that damage in Argentina?
See, I'm a little crazy because I want to hold some of my beans for June anyway. But okay. I also understand that, like, this is where you sell some of your beans and you sell some of the new crop. So, like, I'm kind of good. If you're going to plant beans out there this year, if you sell your beans between this 10.20 and then 10.40 on the board for like 20%, like I would okay. do that probably just about any year. I mean, we traded this number like five times last year, and you could sell it here. So I'm good with that. Same thing for the old crop. We've bounced up here. We basically matched our highs for all of last year here today. I think that's a good place. I mean, can we extend the rally past here, you know, off Argentina? Yeah, but I think it gets tricky. I mean, we all see them pull the rug every year. You know, it's like it's cruising along. Everything looks good. And then you get the 30 downer and it's just like, oh, wow, now we're on the backside of the hill. And what am I supposed to do? So then you're stuck waiting until June to market this stuff again. And I think on this last rally, I'll say this, that most of the old crop beans that are out there in farmer hands is kind of getting cleaned up. And so I think it will be harder to buy farmer beans going forward here because of cash rents and everything that needed to be cashed out. A lot of it's sitting in commercial hands that's hedged up on the board waiting on basis. And we could see a pretty hefty futures advance against that into June. And it's like if I was a commercial guy, I'd be real careful of that to where the basis goes against me because the board gets too firm against my cash position. I think that's dangerous. Like I'd keep my hedges all the way out in August if it was me.
Wow.
But we could get screwy here. I mean, sometimes you see that. And yeah, I mean, we did that in 16. So it was only a couple of years ago that we did exactly that. So the dynamics might be there to do that.
Okay. Okay. Real quickly, Andy, you mentioned that that China continues to buy more beans. Is it a strong economic story there?
Yeah, I think they're pretty strong economically. You know, we'll get into some trade war talk and things like that because that's administrative stuff, but I don't see, you know, I was worried about their real estate a couple of years ago and it just didn't really matter. They put enough restrictions on it that kept it together. So I think like something like that happening right now they look pretty solid, I would say, and they slowed down some of the real estate buying, which I think could have caused a major problem over there. But like in the ag industry, it's going to get stronger, going to get better. You're going to see their yields go up too. But they have to. And all the demand, like on chickens, pork, all that stuff, is going to start growing again this year. I think you're going to see more livestock too on the cattle side.
Very good, very good. We're talking with Andy Schisler, S&W Trading. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about our demand prospects because he does see those bean exports ramping up. But, of course, we got to get into the corn market, and the funds are out of their shorts. What's that mean next? We'll talk to Andy about it on ATB.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quantity and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Thank you for calling XYZ Financial. To pay your credit card bill, say, "Hey, Bill." I'm sorry, I couldn't understand you. To speak with an operator, press 0. Gracias por elegir español. Para pagar su factura de tarjeta de crédito.
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to pay your credit card bill, but he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at pharmdog.org.
For After the Bells Tech Talk, Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today, buddy?
Hey, Chip, I'm looking at May cotton futures today. After climbing from a late October low at 67.75 cents per pound to its January 19th close at 83.79, May cotton suffered a big setback over the past month. The drop seemed to end at last Thursday's low of 76.44. It rallied big time today, taking off after decisively topping its 10-day moving average. It actually surged to 79.74 at the daily high, then set back to close 1.8 cents higher at 78.96. Bears will argue that it's dropped back below its 40-day moving average at 79.40 and closed slightly below its 20-day MA at 79.01 bodes ill for a follow-through. But given supportive fundamentals, I suspect it'll make another run at the 80 level and higher in the near future.
All right. Thank you very much, Dan. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught. Pro Farmer members, get your daily advice updates at profarmer.com.
What do you think, sweets? Should I wear this dress or the green dress tonight? Oh, really? You thought the green one looked better? This is the green dress. I swear.
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to help your wife make intelligent fashion decisions. But he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at farmdog.org. That's PHARMdog.org.
Are you paying too much for fuel and fertilizer? Verify you're getting the best price with Inputs Monitor from Farm Journal Media. Knowing the low, average, and high price quotes from dealers in your area for fertilizers and farm fuels can save you thousands of dollars. Inputs Monitor gives you an easy, anonymous method to compare fertilizer and fuel prices from across the Midwest. Plus, get grower-focused buying advice, local pricing charts, industry news, and purchase alerts so you don't miss any critical buying opportunities. Visit InputsMonitor.com for subscription information. That's InputsMonitor.com. Unbiased and farmer-focused, Inputs Monitor is the newest and best tool to help growers buy inputs at exactly the right time. Before you book your next fertilizer or fuel contract, verify you're getting a fair price with Inputs Monitor. Learn more at InputsMonitor.com. That's InputsMonitor.com.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Today's trading is over. Now it's time to set your strategy for tomorrow. This is AgriTalk After the Bell with Chip Flory.
And welcome back to ATB, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We're talking with Andy Schisler today. Before we get back to the conversation with Andy, let's get a recap from Davis.
Well, Chip, March hard red winter wheat futures were 6¾ cents lower at 471¾, with front month SRW down 8½ cents to close at 449¼. March corn was 2 cents lower at 365½. New crop corn closed at 396 even, down a penny today. March beans were a nickel higher at 1026½. Novi beans closed at 1025 even, up 3 cents on the day. April cattle were 7.5 cents higher at 127.72½. March feeders gained 7.5 cents to close at 149.80. And April lean hogs were $1.05 higher at 69.20. There's your quick market recap. Back to you, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Andy Schisler with SNW Trading is my guest today. Give us a holler. It's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us with the hashtag ChipATB. All right, Andy, in the last segment, you talked a little bit about soybean exports and how we could extend our season a little bit here, see them start to ramp up some. Dude, it is so nice to hear some optimistic or at least not pessimistic talk on the export front. After USDA, the last 2 months, cut 125 million bushels off the export estimate there, is it because of Argentina or is it because of China's overall demand? I mean, where are you getting that bit of optimism from?
I think the demand's there each month. So, I mean, I think... Okay. I really think part of it was the logistics, though, and yeah. I think we can... But we lost it. You know what I mean? That's the time of year when you've got to get the stuff shipped. And I understood the cut. I could see it coming. And it was more than I kind of thought it would be. But in my experience, I've been trading beans for a long time. And I would say beans generally spend about 90% of the time bullish and long, and about 10% of the time not bullish and long. So I think you're not doing yourself any favors if you're generally bearish beans. I mean, pretty much. So
yeah.
The funds are long that contract. I mean, they were short for a brief period here, but now they're long again. And are they going to put a record long against this Argentina thing? Maybe. I've seen it do it in other markets. I mean, we've seen markets take turns moving 30% to 40%. You know, if this Argentina thing, and then on top of, say, a U.S. problem, I mean, you could see a 30% move in beans. That's possible this year.
Sure.
It's happened before, you know.
Yes. Yep,
I mean,
that's
we can
right.
expand volatility here. I mean, just 2 years ago, we traded $12 on the board, and people didn't think it'd ever trade 9 again when it was trading 860, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah,
like the corn thing's kind of interesting because we've gotten so used to selling so little corn in the export market that we get some decent numbers and we get all excited about it.
I catch myself doing it. Yeah,
it's funny when I look at it. I'm just like, everybody's down on the beans. I'm like, well, we still sold a heck of a lot of beans, and we're selling 2 billion bushels of corn, which is good, but it's not really that much. I mean, it's just, but our domestic use is so huge now that, you know, if we ever have the weather problem, it's a game changer on price. It just would be.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, the setup, it all changes quick. We see that. You know, crude was $30 and would never trade 60 again. Now it just stays at 60. So pretty impressive what some of this stuff does, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you mentioned, we talked about Argentina's problems and those weather forecasts. I mean, you've even got the weather forecasters now, Andy, that are saying, well, you look at this model, it's got rain in it at the end of the forecast period again, but I wouldn't buy into that. I wouldn't count on those rains actually developing. And they did get some rains down there this weekend, but you've mentioned a weather problem a couple of times now, talking about if it would develop here in the U.S. Are you seeing anything out there that's got you a little concerned about our growing season for the year ahead?
Well, you're dry out west, and so if it would stay that way, that would be a big deal. We pay some guys for some pretty good weather stuff, and in March they do a bigger outlook thing for the next 3 months. And his stuff's pretty good, I will say. And I don't know a lot right now, but he said he thought that this winter he predicted this cold thing 3 months before it happened and said that this Antarctic oscillation was going to create problems. It was going to put a hot spot in basically Argentina. It was going to put a cold spot over us. Well, that happened. So I'll be curious to see if we're going to see a hot spot here in the U.S., and I haven't heard such a thing yet, like if we're going to see that. But like that would, if we had a hot spot, that'd be the biggest thing. Because like that's what happened down there in Argentina. And that's, so these weather models are showing humidity, and it's not actually rain is what it is. So there'll be humidity down there when these ridges break down, but then it's not actually raining in there, which is a little bit what it was like here in 12, you know.
Yeah, you know what this is setting up for? It's setting up for one of those things that just drives me crazy every year. We're going to hear people that have been bearish corn, bearish beans as we get into the spring and summer months, and then they're going to say, well, you know, the bulls got lucky because this drought came in or the heat came in and bailed them out. I hate that because it's part of the risk that we face every year.
Yeah, it's tricky business. I mean, and look at this way. I mean, we traded right next to $4 on Dease corn here. So it traded $3.99 today. And you can just tell the funds don't have an appetite for owning corn at $3.99.
Right.
They just, they got out of their shorts, but they're not like, well, we better own 200,000 contracts because we're just going to make it go to five.
You're
not seeing that. And I can understand it. So that's why I think I had some orders. I sold some at 97 and 98 and did a few short calls, but nothing crazy. It's
but
not
the
a bad
farmer,
number.
Yeah, the farmer selling has got to be picking up with that Dease corn bumping up against $4 too, huh?
I think it is, and you're kind of equalizing your acres a little bit because, like, $10 in beans and $4 in corn, I don't see that one's any better than the other right there.
Yeah, today on the close, the corn, soybean, I got to put my glasses on, 2.59 to 1. 2.59 to 1 at 10 and a quarter and 3.96 on the Dease corn. I don't know. I wonder if we're not equalizing the expectations here a little bit. Where do you stand right now, though, Andy? Do you think we're going to see some more bean acres like most people do?
You really depend on that cotton thing, because if they take a few of that, I thought you might gain acres in the beans from like some wheat that gets abandoned from this winter, mm-hmm. is what you could see. And then maybe some stuff moves around with cotton, but I think it's very likely that you're 91 million acres. I mean, it's probably 90, 91, and the really bearish people will say 92, but from my experience dealing with people, a lot of these guys will work a rotation, and they're mostly at 50-50, so you don't see a lot of change. I mean, you're going to want to have 90 million corn and 90 million beans is kind of where it's going to want to go. And, like, the outliers, whatever happens with cotton and wheat, like if you switch a million over from wheat, you know, that's possible, because I don't think you're going to do corn with that.
Right.
But I heard a lot of guys didn't spray their fertilizer either.
Yeah, so they're leaving their options open is what you're saying.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, they're leaving it open to soybeans, yep. I would say.
Okay, so March corn has moved from basically 346 up to 370. We had a downside reversal in the market today. If you're not happy with where you're at on corn sales, we got the funds out of their short position. They're not overly long. You can't hardly even call them slightly long at this point, but if you're not happy with where you're at on your 17 sales, do you need to get a little more aggressive on the sales pace right now on old crop?
I think you kind of have to work with it each month and do stuff.
Yeah.
The thing I think you do, I mean, unfortunately, just like really don't want to sell 397 Dease corn, or say July corn's 385 you could have got. I mean, that's okay, but I mean, you start dealing 3,500 basis off of it, it's not real fancy. We all get that. But
right. We
weren't really doing a whole lot better than that last year either, though. So, yep. I mean, I think probably your big move comes in June. I think farmers are still holding a lot of corn. We did see some exodus of this old crop position here recently. Most of it's been in the soybeans. I mean, that stuff's gone, a lot of it. But corn, yep. their bins are full still. And so the basis side wants to hold back on these rallies a little bit. Although I noticed Cedar Rapids still trading minus 10, which is not a bad number. It's not great, but it's kind of been hanging in there. So
Right. Not
all the basis numbers are terrible.
Right.
But I think you just have to keep selling a little as you go here is what I would do.
So, in other words, it's a get started, but don't get crazy. Is that what you're saying? On new crop?
No, it's not a number where I'm just like, sell your whole crop.
Right.
It does
right.
not look like that to me at all. Like, yeah. Yeah. I mean, even at $4 on Dease corn, I think people would liquidate out against that today, and we're not there. So that's why I think it has some appeal to it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You know, it's one of those years that as we're getting into it, everybody wants to be They want to be ready to take action, and if they can get to that $4 number or whatever their break even is, they want to mm-hmm. go ahead and get on top of it. But let's say you do start making some sales, do you own some calls against it right away or just wait?
You know, I did kind of a crazy trade where I sold the Dease futures, I sold the at the money $4 call and the at the money $4 put.
Okay.
So I basically capped my downside, and it's a double up contract because you're short the call, but that it'll net me a price of like 440 or better.
Okay.
And the downside below 350 is pretty low. But if you're looking at something else, I buy real short-term cheap stuff for re-ownership and not spend a lot, because you don't want to buy the whole carry and then a 30-cent option. I think that's not the best move for anybody.
Exactly. All right, Andy. It was good to talk with you again, buddy. We'll do it again soon. All right.
Okay,
that's Andy Schisler, S&W Trading. When we come back, highlights.
Where do you turn to protect your bottom line?
It's time you turn to Pro Farmer for easy-to-follow market news and advice for both cash marketers and futures and options users. Visit TryProFarmer.com today for a no-obligation four-week trial to the nation's number one marketing newsletter. That's TryProFarmer.com. Pro Farmer is not a brokerage firm, so you're not going to get a lot of in-and-out trading advice or elaborate option strategies. You will get rock-solid fundamental market outlook and recommendations that farmers have relied on for generations. Stop sifting through mountains of confusing analysis. Pro Farmer selects only the most important news to save you time and keep you focused on what really matters. Make better informed marketing decisions to protect your bottom line. Try the Pro Farmer newsletter absolutely free. Visit TryProFarmer.com. That's TryProFarmer.com.
So, Mr. Woof, is it? Are you absolutely sure you want to take your money out of this strategic financial portfolio and put it all into dog toys?
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to make savvy financial decisions for you, but he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at pharmdog.org.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Top Third Ag Marketing puts the farmer first with a marketing plan that manages risk in every market condition. We protect the downside, and we're more than just about puts. We'll use a strategy based on the current market conditions and your circumstances. Make your plan today. Let Top Third help.
Top Third Ag Marketing, farmer first with a plan for every market. Call us at 877-TT-HEDGE today. That's 877-TT-HEDGE. Futures trading involves the substantial risk of loss.
Find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at ShopFarmJournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com.
Tired of yesterday's missed weeds becoming today's big problem? Get rid of missed weeds for good with Liberty, the herbicide that puts an end to missed weeds, guaranteed. Plus, Liberty is proven effective on tough-to-control and resistant grasses and broadleaf weeds. So choose Liberty, the simply better solution for superior weed control. Backed by the Liberty Weed Control Guarantee. Talk to your retailer to learn how you can qualify for the Liberty Guarantee. Always read and follow label directions.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Thank you for calling XYZ Financial. To pay your credit card bill, say, "Hey, Bill." I'm sorry, I couldn't understand you. To speak with an operator, press 0. Gracias por elegir español. Para pagar su factura de tarjeta de crédito.
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to pay your credit card bill, but he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at pharmdog.org.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow labeling.
Top Third Ag Marketing. Farmer first with a plan for every market. Call us at 877-TT-HEDGE today. That's 877-TT-HEDGE. Futures trading involves the substantial risk of loss. Becky was
a beauty from South Alabama. Hey, welcome back to Ag We're Talk After the Bell, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with us now.
Yo.
Davis, busy day?
You know, it kind of was.
Yeah?
And, well, you know, if... Yes?
Yeah, I was just going to say, well, if you're an Inputs Monitor subscriber, you should probably be sure to check out your service today, correct?
I was going to send a message in a bottle to my beloved subscribers, yes.
Yes.
I sent you a text. There's a little something on profarmer.com that I don't want you to miss. And listeners, I love you too. We're going to talk about this more on Friday. Yep. But, Chip, you talked about higher crude oil today. I'm looking at higher heating oil. We're up at $1.92 now. That's after coming off of testing around the 182 area last week. And I promised myself I was going to do something if it did something like that. And something happened, and we're going to do something. It puts monitor subscribers. Don't let it pass you by. That's all I'm going to say about it.
That's all I've got to say.
Tune in Friday.
And in reality, yes. A day like today is one of those days that, yeah, it was busy, but you did all the work in front of it.
Right.
You know? So it's a good day.
It is a good day. It feels good. You know, busy people are happy people. And
Did you hear what Andy said about conditions in Argentina?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He said, based on those conditions in Argentina, I could be bullish beans at $12.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And then you throw on top of it some of the shipping problems that we've had. And we've talked about that on ATB. We've mm-hmm. talked about it on AgriTalk. I mean, it's been a month since I had Mike Steenhook from the Soy Transportation Board. That's who it was. Had him on talking about some of the issues that we were dealing with on the rivers. And those issues are not really going away. Yeah, we've got the ice jams that we're still dealing with, but it's the water levels. I mean, you look at some of the water levels that we've got. I checked a couple real quick during the break. We are at levels that are going to be making it very difficult unless we get some rain when we're breaking up the ice. Unless we get some rain early in the year, we are at water levels right now on the Mississippi. They're going to make it very difficult to be efficient moving product up and down that river. Man.
Well, so, and from my perspective, I'm thinking about just what you said right there, moving up and down that river. Yep. I'm concerned about the up myself.
Absolutely. We got to get our fertilizer up the river if we're going to be able to take advantage of it. You know, that was another interesting thing that Andy said, was that he sees some guys that didn't do everything that they could have done on the fertilizer application this fall, mm-hmm. trying to keep their options open for them on the crop mix when they get into the spring of 2018. Okay. Now, admittedly, we kind of talked about the weather models and how those, and we've been talking about it, Davis, how those rains that are at the end of the forecast period in Argentina, more often than not, they have failed to materialize.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to keep that in mind as we're looking at the extended forecast or the week and the 2 week forecast from the guys at BAMWX. I don't think they'd mind if I'd share just a little bit with what they're talking about right now.
I was going to remind the listener, you know, and you've admitted yourself, you're at best an amateur climatologist. We need the help of an expert in situations like these.
Absolutely.
Guys at BAMWX have been good at providing that for us.
That's right. And, you know, Andy just came right out and said it. It's a weather market. And, you know, I've been trying to fight that a little bit. And the reason that I've been trying to fight it a little bit was because I thought maybe somehow, some way, all of a sudden, we would see those countries like the Philippines, Indonesia, the countries that are traditional buyers of Argentine product would mm-hmm. step into the U.S. market and start to get their coverage here. And then I could say, okay, yes, it is a weather market now. But only because mm-hmm. the importers of those Argentine products are now stepping up and buying from the U.S. I'm still waiting for that to happen. in a significant way. That's what really makes it a weather market, not just a weather scare. So I'm still waiting for that to happen. But when we look at this forecast now, current temperature, and that's the difference. Andy was so good at pointing that out.
Yeah.
That we were dry last year in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. We were dry, but we didn't have the heat. Argentina's getting the heat. That's a big difference here. The 1 to 7 day forecast, the guys at BAMWX say temperatures will be below normal across Paraguay and much of central Brazil, where the rain is going to focus. Above normal across central Argentina, such as Cordoba, Bahia Blanca, and well into northern Peru, Ecuador, and Colombia. Week two temperatures should remain above normal across much of Argentina, where the dryness continues. Below normal across Paraguay and southeast Brazil due to the rains that are expected to continue to fall. When we take a look at the rainfall, I mean, they're talking about 10 to 25% over the important crop areas, 10 to 25% of normal in the week ahead in the crop areas of Argentina, 150 to 200% normal rain in Brazil. Week two, 150 to 200% of normal rains in southern Brazil. Equal chances for above and below normal up in Mato Grosso. But Argentina, the crop areas, anywhere from 50% to 75%. But there's those rains on the back end of the forecast period.
As usual.
As usual, that have not been developing. Yep. So hot and dry in Argentina. That's the bottom line. We'll see what it does for the markets the rest of the week. Let's do it, buddy. Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by This Day and Age. The passage of time cannot be stopped, but that doesn't mean the exercise of common sense should. And now today's tweets at KFunds1. Kids doing chores with dad. Teaching kids responsibilities at a young age is exactly what needs to happen. More in this day and age.
Yes.
Amen, brother. At Inthings, you were born an original. Don't die a copy. And one more from at Texan Rancher. New ranch policy, he says. When around cattle, look at the cattle like you used to in the old days, not at Twitter. Now back to you, Chip.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Davis. Thanks for listening today and every day. Thanks to Andy Schisler for coming on the show tomorrow morning on AgriTalk. It's Farmer Forum. And tomorrow afternoon on ATB, Jim Bauer from Bauer Trading. We'll sort it out. That's tomorrow on ATB.
They say to really know a man, you have to walk a mile in his boots. Well, my channel Seedsman has logged more miles than I can count in mine. Every spring, we hit my fields together at the first sight of green. 6 weeks later, he's out here again checking roots, stalks, soil, like they were his own. As crops grow, so does his commitment to making sure there's nothing overlooked. Nutrients, weed control, pests, disease. He gets an agronomist to weigh in whenever we need a second opinion. The whole time, using the latest technology to document where we've been and decide where we're going. Wheels always turning. And come harvest, we celebrate in the cab. Him working away, making plans for next season. That, my friends, is what they call seedsmanship at work. Look, anybody can sell you seed. Only a channel seedsman gives you everything you need to make the most of it. Find yours at channel.com/boot.